center of the universe, on the planet Eternia, rules Castle Grayskull, ancient fortress of mystery. Its power sought by the dark forces of Snake Mantle, sanctuary of sin and sorrow, ruled by the demon Skeletor and his evil acolytes.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. We did it, everybody. We're finally completing Masters of the Universe Revelation, episode 5 of 5 that exists as of this recording. We got through it. I was able to force my will upon the team. Despite a lot of pushback, we're finishing it today. And then we'll get back to, I don't know, Gina, seasonal Thanksgiving or G.I.
Joe.
I mean, we'll get to something. If you can find enough Thanksgiving specials, I'll put all the onus on you. Otherwise, we watch G.I. Joe. That's the new rule.
I mean, we should watch G.I. Joe next because it's been a while. But after that, I've already found lists.
Well, we've only got 2 more episodes of G.I. Joe from season 5 to go. So if we just do 1 this month and 1 in December, we could do all the rest seasonal material, and I would be perfectly happy with that if this is an agreement we can come to.
Done.
Done, and look at, this is how deals get made. This is the knowing is half the podcast boardroom.
I'm not going to be the Joe Manchin of this podcast.
Does that mean that you're going to be the Kristen Sinema?
I was about to ask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the problem. Chan is the Ted Cruz of this podcast. So.
Oh, God.
Why am I so persecuted?
Kill yourself, Chan. Kill yourself.
By the way, I am Ray Stakanis.
I am Ted Cruz.
I am Kristen Sinema.
And this is Knowing is Half the Podcast.
I just,
the G.I. Joe recap show.
So long as I got at least a couple months respite from this goddamn show.
You're referring to Masters of the Universe Revelation, the wonderful reboot.
You have to admit, in this finale episode, there was some beautiful art.
Yes, I agree. I agree with a lot of things that I really liked about this.
I'm asking Chan.
Oh, I guess I'm an easier sell.
I mean, it's fine.
You didn't like any of the shimmering forest with the water or anything like that. Like, I thought that was some cool artwork. I'm trying to find things.
There is one thing that I liked, and I will let you know when we get to it.
It's the ending, isn't it?
It really is. Yeah. Okay, never mind. Spoiler, it's the ending. not in the way like, oh, thank God it's over, but in a way that like, oh, yeah. Like, this is a plot thing, character thing that I like. And
okay.
Maybe if the rest of the goddamn series were like this, I wouldn't have a problem with it. Although I think I did figure out why I have a problem with this. And honestly, it's been so long since we've done this. I don't know if I figured this out already and already said it on air forgot and then rediscovered it.
It's a memento situation. Chan, you've got to tattoo these thoughts on your body.
I
every episode you discover, you quote unquote discover a reason why you hate it that you think is the reason. Like one episode, it was like, oh, the puns and the tonal shifts that don't make any sense.
Yeah, that was a problem for Chan. Not me, but it was a problem for Chan at one point. Well, this is episode 5 of 5, 5 of 10, technically, called The Forge at the Forest at the Forest of Forge. Wait, I can't read my own handwriting.
The what Forge at the Forest of Forever, which in my notes I've written, is a whack-ass title.
It's a really... Here's the deal. Terrible. I like this show. That's a bad title. That's a bad title for a finale, too.
Did I just hallucinate? Did you just say, did you mistake the title for The Forge at the Forest of Ham?
No. Forest at the Forge of Forge is what he said.
Did I hear ham?
You're just very hungry, Gina. You've only been eating candy freebase for the last 72 straight hours. Yeah, you need some protein.
I got my COVID booster today.
Oh, that's right. So you'll be passed out by about a half hour from now, right?
Yeah, I was passed out earlier. Well, you know, like I wanted to pass out earlier is what I'm saying. So I heard ham and I'm not even hungry. I just heard Forest of Ham.
Here's the deal. Black Forest Ham sounds delicious right now, just for the record. No, I couldn't read my own writing because I hastily scrawled this while eating dinner tonight, right before we recorded. And so I wrote the Forage at the Forest of Forever, which got three F's in it. I mean, it's alliterative. I mean, you got to give them that, but it's not.
Well, here's the problem. My guess is that it's a take on the city at the edge of forever, which is an excellent Star Trek show episode. Sorry, one of the best TOS. But because of the alliteration, it just sounds dumb and it's clunky.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really relate to the city at the edge of forever. So why bother?
Yeah.
Well, it's the Forest of Forever and there is a forge there. So, I mean, it's related to itself. And the fact all three alliterative words start with F-O-R and have an E in them at some point, like, that's pretty good.
Here, if you call it The Forge, that's a pretty decent title. If you call it The Forest of Forever, that's a pretty good title. You put them all together, it's some bullshit.
Well, if you just called the episode Ham.
Why didn't they just call it Ham. The Forest Ham?
Oh, there's a motherfucker.
Well, we open up in a very delightful moment at a very inspiring place, Orko's grave.
Mm-hmm.
Because an interesting call here, but I did. Here's the deal, and it really does set the tone that we're all working together. We're all on the same team together. We've been through a journey, and it's been hard. So you're in Paternia, mm-hmm. and they try to give them the gift of home. So the forest kind of conjures Orko stuff from the land of orcs or wherever the heck he said he was from. And they're all having a somber moment where they're all saying, like, you know, oh, we missed you. And Evelyn's like, I fucking hated you, but you're okay.
Dialogue from The Help. Is that what that was? You was kind, you was smart.
I was like, oh, poor Orko. And then I was like, I can't keep track of all the dead people in this show. It's like Game of Thrones. It's like they just keep killing people.
We'll get to it. I'm gonna wait until it actually comes up in my notes, like at what point of the show where I was like, oh, that's what the problem is here.
Yeah, I don't. They're killing people left and right in five episodes that I don't really care.
Yep.
Like they don't. There's not enough. There, you know. Again, the pacing and the tone is so weird. There's not enough. Like it's almost like someone with ADD wrote a TV series.
Oh snap! No wonder I can follow it.
This makes sense.
It makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah. And it's not, and they're not letting anything breathe, but also it's going slow, but also I don't care that these characters are dying because they haven't had any character development and I don't really know them that well.
How dare you? Orko had tremendous, that whole dialogue with Evelyn where they got to know each other.
You mean when they smushed everything about Orko into one scene instead of letting it slowly develop so you actually care about him, and they just said, hey, here's an info dump of this character, which isn't how writing works. You can't just be like, hey, we're gonna kill off his character at the end of this episode, let's just give him like a 5-minute monologue even though he's had relatively little to do and little character development. And so that's not how, again, it's infuriating that this show is not written well.
I disagree completely, because in the world of reality TV, you often learn all about a character right before they get eliminated because it's their last chance.
You're basing television writing, narrative television writing, based on what they do in reality shows?
I mean, really, Gina, I don't know that you understand that reality television is the pinnacle of narrative on television.
Thank you.
I mean, people spend all this time like writing scripts that then people have to memorize. Gross. Okay. Gross.
Thank you. Thank you, Chi-Chan. I knew you'd have my back on this. I'm all about that Hell's Kitchen lifestyle.
Okay. Gross. Now here I come in, because I'm just going to skip to 17 minutes and 30 seconds where in all caps I have, here's the reason, the problem that I have with the show.
Yeah, may as well
is
get to it.
There is no investment in the characters.
Thank
Kevin
you.
Smith relied on nostalgia. 100%. You are sad that Orko is dead because you loved him in the original show. There is no reason for you to love him in this show. Everything that was given to you was told, not shown.
Yeah.
Here's
interesting.
It was an info dump. It was, here is a bunch of exposition about why you should care about me. And there was no feeling to it.
You
got five episodes, and honestly, it's a pretty hard thing to be able to fall in love with all of these characters and care that they're dead. But that's the job. And that is what they did not do. The people that enjoy the show brought that with them. And that is fine. It is absolutely okay to love the show because you have an investment in the characters from watching them as a kid, and now you get to see what's happening. But I didn't have that much of an investment in it as a kid. Honestly, like, He-Man was okay. It's kind of interesting to me because, Gina, you did, but you didn't carry it over. But I didn't. And so all of the stuff that Kevin Smith expected me to be sad about, I just didn't feel, because he just, like, left it. He was just, like, just a lazy asshole, just like, here, you already love these people. And he gave me no reason.
I would be very curious to see what people would think if it was just a brand new show that they had no ties to. Like you said, I was a huge He-Man fan. But if you're going to be adults writing adult animation for adults, there's got to be better writing than this. And
Please don't say adult again, because it sounds like you're talking about porn.
If you're going to write He-Man porn, I need a plot line to follow. You can't just dive in. It can't just be all Skeletor eating out Evil-Inn. I need to know, how did they get here? How does she feel about it? Is she going to reciprocate?
If you're going to work for Wood Rocket, you have to have a love for the work. That's all.
Here's the thing. I'm so mad. Every time we do this, I start out sort of neutral on the episodes. Like, I'm sort of just like, all right, I won't watch this again. I wouldn't tell someone not to watch it. I don't think it's particularly good writing. But every time I get more and more furious because, like, Ray just won't acknowledge that it's bad writing. Like, and it would be like if all of a sudden I watched a football game. And I
don't
was
get
like,
crazy that, now, Gina.
I was like, oh, that was a really good play. And Ray was like, no, that made no sense. He was pulling down his pants and slapping his butt. You're not allowed to do that in football. He was just supposed to kick the ball or whatever football happens. And if I was just like, all right, well, that's just your opinion. My opinion is that it was a really good play. And Ray just keeps going like, but no, it wasn't.
That was
and
a fumble.
I'm like, all right, agree to disagree.
But wait a minute.
I watched football when I was little, like 5 years old some of the time. So I understand it, and it's a good play.
Wait a minute, Gina Ippolito. First off, what you just described, I wish I could see on a football field. And if the guy pulled down his pants during kickoff and started slapping his ass, and you turned to me and said, that's a good play, I would say, you're goddamn right it is.
Yeah.
My God, I can't believe what a great play that was.
You fucked this one up, Gina. Football to actually say what a bad play is. Kathy Ireland came out and they were like, let Kathy Ireland kick the ball.
Make it better, necessary roughness reference. I see you over there. What I'm trying to say is, you're comparing a competitive sport with rules to art, and art can take many different forms. And and honestly, like, if this show had come out with no previous anything, I'll play that theoretical game with y'all. This would not work on any level. It absolutely doesn't, but that's not what it is. It is intended to play upon your nostalgia. It's intended to bank on the fact that you know and care about these characters, and it's trying to give you a twisted world based on what you expect. It's like The Last Jedi, basically. It alters your expectations and gives you something you're not expecting. And I commend it for that.
It is not successful. And perhaps I should have said, if I all of a sudden started watching wrestling and I was like, oh my God, this is a really good storyline. And you were like, no, it's a hack storyline. I've seen it a million times before. Every wrestler has done this storyline and they're not even doing it well. And I was like, no, you're wrong. It's a great storyline. And you were like, no, it's not, because this is how storylines in wrestling work. Maybe I should have given that. What I'm saying is, I get
Dan, you
want to
explain
furious.
The fallacy here?
Let me try this one. You come in and you're watching a match and you're like, oh my goodness, the Ultimate Warrior is the most technically proficient wrestler I've ever seen in my entire life. And you're like, no, it is absolutely not. Like he really manages to work the crowd, but he is very bad at the actual thing of wrestling. And you're like, no. Definitely look at the way he jumps in the air and then falls down on the guy. That is the most technical thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Did he study with Stu Hart in the dungeon and then your head exploded?
Chan, what you just described is like 90% of wrestling fans. They don't know the difference. That's like going to any wrestling show. That's what you're surrounded by in a sea of humanity.
Mm-hmm. But as someone who has done it, how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel fine. Wrestling, again, wrestling is art and art is subjective.
No,
that's
I've
the whole
seen you
deal.
Get furious about things before.
Look, the only thing I get furious about is Detroit Lions football. Now, if you sat here, Gina, and you said that Dan Campbell's an excellent coach, yes, I would be furious with you, just like
no,
I am with 90% of Detroit Lions
fans. I've
seen
you talk about video game storylines and this and that. Like, you literally just went off on Dune.
I didn't go off on it. What do you mean go off on it? I tried to say the things I liked about it because I was being nice.
You were talking about like, oh, I mean, it's like good for people for being into it, but it was boring, blah, 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 blah. So what I'm saying is it's like every week when we watch this, I log in and I'm like, all right, this was fine. This was all right. I mean, it's not like having a UTI, but it's not like that bad, but it's also not like starving for 3 days in a basement. It's like,
oh
it's
my
like,
God, put that on a also, poster. Not as also, bad as getting a UTI.
Gina, it's Gina also combined Polito. Time-wise about half as much as I put into Dune.
I see where you're going there.
I mean,
go to hell.
First of all, by the time we finish this, it will be the same amount of time as Dune.
Oh, that's fair. This episode itself is going to be longer than Dune. I promise you that right now.
I'm just saying, this is why I start out tired and end up enraged.
that's a good tagline for this show.
Luckily, Chan knows what's up and is saying everything that is wrong with it. But then you just say, like, huh, I disagree. And it's not a thing you can disagree with.
Of course it is.
No, it's not. It's like if I got my hand cut off.
Oh, I like this one. I like this one. Keep going.
Where are we going here?
It's like if I got my hand cut off and I was like, oh my God, you guys, we have to stop what we're doing. I just got my hand cut off. And you were like, oh, I don't think you did. And I was like, I did. I'm bleeding. I'm getting tired. And you're like, agree to disagree.
She's not wrong. She's not wrong.
I think she is wrong, but I'm willing to let it pass because that analogy was wonderful. So here we go. We're about 30 seconds into this episode.
Adam, we skipped ahead to 17 minutes.
No, Chan tried to skip. I'm not letting you off the hook there, Chan. Not that I have a ton of notes here, but Adam says you can have my sword, but nobody will tell him what's going on, which I understand Tila's got her problems and she doesn't want to tell him, but like no one's going to tell him. That just seems a little weird.
Yeah.
My problem with this though was not that they didn't tell him, because honestly, like if someone's in fucking heaven and they're like, so how's your life going? Great. You're not going to be like, no, it's terrible. It might be better if you like gave up eternal life and came back from the dead and hung out with me and like we like ordered some pizza. Like, you're not going to say that. You're just going to be like, don't worry about it. Just enjoy your fucking heaven. So one of my issues with this episode is that like when Adam decides to come back,
right,
and Teela like gives him a smile, I'm like, yo, if someone like I loved was in heaven, I would be like, everyone through the fucking portal, I'm going to knock this dude unconscious so he stays in heaven.
Gina, what are you talking about? She's been pissed with him from day one. This is vengeance. This is, oh, are you going to come back? Yeah, you motherfucker.
No, she gives him a look that's like, you are a true friend giving up heaven. But she's a bad friend. She should have told him no.
She's more devious than that. She's got plans within plans.
Oh, I don't think the show is that deep.
You are correct. Also, it is delightful that it's Buffy who does this, because
yes, that's right. Yes.
I mean, if anybody should know what it's like being yanked out of heaven in season,
yeah, seven of this show. This is I actually wrote that. I wrote Buffy of all people would not let this stand.
It's hilarious. I was so mesmerized by her characterization, I totally forgot that it was Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
Was enamored by the acting.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, ask Hero. His name is Hero.
You know what? I'm going to let that one go. That's, I mean, He-Man is obviously the most ridiculous name. So, like, Hero, like, sure. Why not? Let's do this.
Yeah, he apparently knows stuff about forging swords. And we find out there's, now that they're in heaven, you can't get out. They all say it. They say, well, once you're here, there's no getting back. Well, except for that one gate over in the castle. Well, then what's with the pretense? You know they can get back, you weirdos.
Well, I mean, to be fair, like, no one ever tried it because, like, why would you?
Well, why would you?
I get that.
I also, this Hero character to me is so strange because he's just so stereotypically hero-y that I thought there was going to be some twist.
Oh, okay.
To him, like, I was like, they're not just going to throw, like, a fucking white beefcake in at this juncture, call
Gina,
him Hero,
always
and
room.
Then have
always
him
room.
Know what he's doing and like do it properly, and that's exactly what they did. And I was
well,
like,
he
really?
Doesn't do the forging though. They tell the robot to do
no,
the forging.
No, but he knows what it is. Like I was
oh,
like,
sure.
Oh, this isn't like a misdirect. Like they find him and he's useless, and they realize the power was in them all along or something. But like it's just a character that they're introducing in episode fucking five.
It's a little
that
weird.
Like
no, because they're just like their plot devices in that like they're all in heaven, they're all previous incarnations of He-Man, they're all, you know, they were perfect heroes in their time, and now they're just chilling in a truly awful version of heaven for my taste.
I like there's dinosaurs in heaven though. I'm into that a
but
lot.
Like your whole thing is going to choke out fucking giant cats. What the fuck is that about?
It's like Hero Heaven, I guess. So I guess like it's like there. But yeah, it would really suck if it was like, oh, it's just a never-ending competition. I mean, I'd be into because I would fucking win, but you guys would be terrible.
Are you kidding me? I'd be playing Settlers of Catan for eternity. I'm into it.
That's not what it is. It's physical brute strength up there.
Among other things, I have to assume there is some mental fortitude involved as well. Now, what I would say here, though, is the one thing that I found a little disturbing of their depiction of heaven is it's kind of German Übermensch in that you have to be of a certain heroic white level, basically, in order to be considered for heaven.
Because
they even make
true.
A point like you got to go back. If you go back and you die, you probably won't be worthy of coming back here. So you're just going to be dead in the ground like everyone else.
No,
they specifically
this is, this
call
is
that
specifically
out.
The heaven that's reserved for
He-Man.
Yeah, for like wielders of this sword. That's why when the dude who is black, in case you did not notice, says,
I did notice.
You can choose your form, and no one's ever chosen their non-hero form.
That's true.
Until
that's
Adam.
Grayskull.
So it's only specifically for them. It's their heaven.
And
There's
their pets, which makes it pretty good, but they do make a specific reference to the fact that everybody else who dies goes into the ground, and the real heroes, the Übermenches, get into hero heaven. Like, yeah. I found that a little dark. I found that a little bad. I like that you're arguing with me about the thing I didn't like about it.
Yeah, no, I'm rolling it out over. I'm swishing it around in my mouth and seeing if it has legs. And I kind of get it. Yeah, I kind of agree with you.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I obviously just had a stroke.
No, I would have to go and watch it again. I remember them talking about it, but I assumed like I don't remember them saying you would just be dead just like everyone else. I mean, as someone who doesn't believe in anything, that doesn't sound too terrible to me.
Well, except he has the option of being in this perfect. I guess it's like if your heaven is PE forever, then congratulations, you're going to be winning the the Arnold Schwarzenegger medal, or what the fuck was that? What was that thing
we had to do? Presidential medal. Oh, presidential of physical fitness.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Of course you did, Gina. We have established this. You're the brute that doesn't speak in a language that anybody understands in heaven.
That was a little bit weird.
I mean, all that really matters, I guess, is that she's happy. But yeah, like, you know, it's I would not be happy here. I'm not sure what they eat.
I'll be the one to say it. Lady, you've been living here long enough. Learn the language.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Had to bring in
immigrant
politics into this, huh? Is that what we're doing now?
Oh, no. I was talking about white people living abroad in foreign countries.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense. I'm for it.
And nothing else.
She's very clearly some sort of Cro-Mag Viking-esque lady.
Yeah.
Yeah, but by that you mean badass. Thank you.
What?
So Tila's still pissed off at Adam, and we're going to hatch the plan here. We're going to go to Grayskull Tower. We're going to go find the guy who's going to do the forging. And we need to find out about all this through the Wild Hunt. We've been talking about it already. And I don't know that it's physical fitness forever in PE class. I think it's more just like the world of Conan, and you're just dropped in it, and you are a fellow Conan. And I think that if you are a Conan in a world of Conan, you're probably going to be enjoying it a lot. That's just me. But they do the Wild Hunt, which at first they make you think like they're all riding their crazy dinosaurs. And all of a sudden, and Tila and Adam have like hover discs, which is pretty cool. And they're chasing this.
The sequence looked pretty cool, to be honest.
It was like, cool.
I enjoyed this sequence. I was into it. I liked the artwork. I liked, you know, that they were flying around and that things were actually happening.
Yeah. But what I liked, I was worried because I was like, oh, there's this beautiful purple saber-toothed tiger and they're going to murder it. Like that, who's heaven is, you know, what do they say? Like a snake's heaven is a mouse's hell or something like that. But basically, something like that, right? Awful. But I'm just like, oh man, this poor kitty. But they catch, you know, he catches the cat at the end and then he gives him a big old hug and says, great chase. See you next time. And everybody's cool. And I'm like, this is Conan heaven. Look, if I get to just like chase my cat around and then at the end he's awesome and when we high five it out, this is a good place to be.
I was very glad that the cat wasn't hurt. I thought there's a point where, you know, Adam is like, oh, you can't get out of heaven, but maybe here's our ticket out. And so I thought the whole point of it was like, oh, you chase this thing that basically can't be caught. But if you catch it, he like gives you a wish and you can wish to be out of heaven or something.
Interesting.
Like, I don't know how the hell this all ties into getting out.
That would be a great thing in a better show.
Yeah, no, right? But, why would he? I don't know why he's tying this to, he's like, here's our ticket out. And then it's like the great hunt. So naturally, my assumption was, okay, if getting out is tied to this great hunt, then it all depends on like a power that this cat has, that if you catch it, he lets you out. And that's why I thought at the very last second when Grayskull catches it, I was like, oh shit, what's going to end up happening is like, since they didn't catch the cat won't give them the wish, but Grayskull's going to turn over his wish because they're going to entreat him. Like they're going to play on his sympathies and be like, please, we need to get back. We need to do this. And he's going to say, all right, like no one in centuries has caught the great cat, but I will bestow my wish upon you. None of that shit happens. It was just a game. And then Grayskull is like, okay, cool. You want me to show you the door?
Yeah, Gina, this Wild Hunt was basically a Thanksgiving at Diane English's house. Look, you're happy to be invited to it, and the thing itself isn't the thing. It's the people you meet going to the thing. That's the entire point.
Is that indeed what Thanksgiving with Diane English is like?
I don't know. I didn't get to go. I was
invited. Could you imagine
being
invited on the Wild Hunt and not going? What are we talking about?
But
right now?
Why? No, it's just, Chan, back me up here. If someone says that like no one's ever gotten out of heaven, it's impossible to do. But if there's a way to do it, this holds the key. The Great Hunt.
Yeah.
Don't you think that the key is going to have something to do with the Great Hunt?
Okay, well, here's the thing, Gina. You see, they had 5 episodes. They didn't have any more episodes or any way to make a different length, because that's not how it works at Netflix. You can't just have an arbitrary number of episodes in your season. You can only have 5 episodes. They're only of that length. And so they had to do what they had to do to squeeze things in.
Look, here's the thing. I love He-Man and I love Kevin Smith. So I wanted this to be very good, and it is not. And I went in with those two things in my head, and it just isn't.
Rebuttal, yeah, okay. Mr. Stakanis.
No, I have no rebuttal here. I just think Gina got the wrong thing stuck in her head, and then she couldn't get rid of it.
Yeah, no, I get that. Yeah.
I mean, here's the deal. I'm guilty of that roughly 90 times every episode we watch of everything. So I understand where you're coming from, Gina, and I understand why it's uncomfortable to be so similar to me while watching an episode for a change.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Skeletor!
With He-Man gone, the magic of Orko will be mine.
Prince Adam, we gotta get out of here now!
Skeletor, Orko, Prince Adam, and He-Man figures each sold separately.
Help! Help, Prince Adam!
Looks like a job for He-Man. Yeah.
Trick's on you, bone face.
Yarg! Prince Adam and Orko with Coin Trick, new from the Masters of the Universe collection, each sold separately. Other action figures also sold separately from Mattel.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
So, we get back to the forge, and the hero says, yo, this is too much. I can't forge this. This would, like, murder me. And then the Mr. Roboto guy says, yo, let's just turn this whole ass temple into a giant forge, because it's made of, like, aluminum Uranium? Or something.
Unobtainium. That's what it's made of.
Unobtainium with atmospherium. And that's a great ref, y'all. And he says, I'm a robot. I'm a forge it. We good. Everybody get the fuck out of here. And I'm going to forge this thing right now in this temple at Grayskull Tower, I think. I don't know. But
everyone says, thank you very much, oh, Mr. Roboto. Thank you.
They actually did. It was a crazy number. So we go back to the Wild Hunt, where Grayskull catches the kitty, and they all call He-Man Flea Man. Got him.
I didn't hate that. That was kind of funny.
It's kind of funny. Then they say, everybody chooses their form, so we all chose, of course, Conan form. Except for him, he chose Adam form, because he's a fucking weirdo. And I'm like,
it
yeah.
It would be really cool if we talked about that, because that is that's an interesting character thing.
Super interesting point.
Probably means something. Are we going to get to it in the second half of the season? Maybe, but probably not.
I would bet probably no. Probably not. Honestly, if you had me put $10 down right now, it would be we never talk about that again.
Yep.
That is a disappointment, because that is a cool character moment. It was one of those things that happens, and you're just like, oh, whoa, what is that about? And then anyway, moving forward. Didn't love that. Not going to lie. Okay. Now we have the plan. And they ask the question, why would Adam ever leave? And I don't really have a great answer.
Here's the thing. Again, this would be a great moment where, you know, she's not letting him, because deep down is he doing it because he feels guilt? Is he doing it out of love? We don't know. Because we know nothing about any of these characters.
After 5 episodes.
And so, like, yeah, so I was a bit bummed that she put up no resistance, like if she had said something to him along the lines of, like, I can't let you do that. And he's like, oh, I'm doing it for me. And she's like, no, I don't want you there. Like, if it was, like, it was, you know, yeah. If they're going back and forth and she's trying to hurt him to get him not to go, and he's, you know, like... And other people are thinking, like, is this his guilt? We can't let him do something out of guilt, but is it out of love? There's a lot to explore there, but instead it's just him saying, I'm going to go. And then her giving a half smile and then it being settled.
Yeah, in my notes, yeah. Specifically, I wrote, what is that look for? Because it doesn't make sense. And yeah, like if I knew who these fucking characters were, I'd be like, oh, dang, like here's this decision that he's made. And it's meaningful because, you know, he did this or did that or felt this way. He had, you know, a sense of duty or honor or guilt. Let's talk about, like, is he small because he, you know, is torn about the lie that he told Teela? He's always been in love with her and he doesn't feel worthy of being in heaven. And so this is obviously a, you know, a decision to reclaim what is truly his destiny, to be a heroic person instead of just a meaningless sacrifice. Nope. Everybody shrugs, and then the dumb woman's like, "Ugga bugga bugga," and you're like, "Dumb women can't talk."
I will say they also dance the around. They dance around it quite a bit.
Yes,
but I'm gonna interpret two writer things here. First of all, that look was supposed to be her forgiving him so that they never talk about this again. So that they're not going to spend any of the next five episodes talking about how betrayed she feels and this and that. That was her being like, okay, I forgive you. That was supposed to be what that look was. We don't have to talk about it again. The thing that they danced around but never said was when she says, I don't know you at all because I didn't know you were He-Man. What he was supposed to say was, no, I'm not He-Man. I'm Adam. Like that wasn't when I was He-Man, I was putting on
right.
a fake face.
Absolutely. And he kind of says that, doesn't he? He says, I was Adam the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, but it's like, it's, you know, like if it gets into a thing of, no, you knew me better than everyone else because you only saw like the pure me, how I see myself. Versus like this, you know, people knowing that I'm this and that coloring their knowledge of me because they always thought, well, he might be small, he might be nice, he might be kind, but really he's He-Man. So everyone looked at him like that. Everyone is looking at him. Everyone who knows that he's He-Man is looking at him assuming that like, oh, but he's really He-Man. When in actuality, he's Adam and she's the only one that didn't, since she's the only one that didn't know, she didn't have to look at him and say like, well, he's great because he's He-Man. She just saw Adam being a great, nice guy, if this all makes sense. But they don't really say any of that. I mean, they touch on it, but it's not, you know, and so then she's like, yeah, sure, come with us. I forgive you. We'll never talk about this again.
Yeah. It's a moment that was supposed to hit a lot harder than it did. I think definitely I can say that. Did we find the bit with the sorceress looking lady funny, where she shouts inanity and everybody just sort of stares around at each other because nobody understands it? Does that bit work on any level?
Oh,
it has the structure of a joke.
Yeah. I didn't care either way, to be honest.
I was just curious.
I didn't hate it. I didn't love it.
I laughed in that one moment when literally she's the deciding vote of whether he should go after her or not. And nobody can understand it. So there's just this awkward moment where they all just sort of stare at each other and then nobody knows what to do. I found that pretty funny. I don't know. I laughed. I lolled, as the kids say. We're going back to the Forge now, where Evil Lyn passes the magical flame like a candle to a torch. Okay, so now we come back to Teela and Adam having a conversation where, you know, I would leave, and she will not tell him why she's there. And it's just so easy, like, all the magic is gone, we need the swords to make the magic. Just give me the sword, because here's the deal. And this is where I think a little bit is coming from, is that I think part of the reason he wants to go back is because nobody will tell him what's happening. If they just told him, we don't need you, we just need the sword to get the magic back, and we'll figure it out from there.
He essentially knows, but she's doing the right thing by not, because she knows him, and she knows that he'll want to help, and she kind of doesn't really want his help and doesn't want him to be redeemed in the moment. But he knows. I mean, he says, like, unless something's happened to the magic.
Yeah, he figures it out.
But yeah, I mean, like, you know, yeah, it's just, none of it works.
Well, she ends up leaving. They're still not quite figuring it all out. And then I loved it. I love the Moss Man returns. Give me more Alan Oppenheimer, original voice of Skeletor. As he comes like over, and he's like, hey, it turns out that I'm a really old enchanted forest. And I made the afterlife, bitches. He didn't wield the power, but he's here.
Yeah, I'm into Moss Man.
I thought it was really cool. He's just like, yo, I try not to eavesdrop, but I am literally the forest.
No.
Yeah, I like all this, and this was all, where some of the cool artwork was too. So yeah,
definitely. And he asked Mossman, like, what? I don't really know what to do here. I'm working with only partial information. I don't know exactly what to do. You've heard all of this. Maybe you could help me. And then Mossman's like, later, bitch. And then he just goes away. It's like, all right, cool. No answers. No one will help Adam in this moment.
Here you go, Gina. Here's the part that I think you missed.
If you were to return to Eternia, well, paradise is not so easy to attain. You might never be able to come back here. You would end as mortals do, in dirt.
That's it. Mortals don't get an afterlife.
Like, there's stakes there, and I appreciate
it. Yeah, all right.
See? You guys, I was right the whole time. Well, I'm glad we all agree.
Mm.
I just find it crazy that of the three of us, I'm the one that noticed that.
I mean, I noticed it too. I just didn't bring it up.
It's kind of an important plot point.
Yeah, because
I mean, I remember that he's not, like, he clearly can't come back to.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, maybe is obviously yes.
It'll be very hard, meaning it doesn't matter. That's the other half of this coin, is that they don't say you can't come back. They just say, well, it'll be pretty hard. Just like it was really hard to leave.
Yeah, or it was really hard to get into the land of the dead or take something from it. Or
it's really, really hard. You have to want to do it and then go do it. So it's really hard. It's like making a sandwich. You have to want a sandwich and then make yourself a sandwich. Whoa. Look,
I feel like in a show that assumes that we forget anytime Man-at-Arms is not on screen, that we forget he exists. I'm pretty sure they're like, whatever. Just say something's pretty hard. By the time we get to it, we'll figure it out.
And look at you foreshadowing. We'll get there in a sec.
Oh my God, Man-at-Arms is back!
What? Man-at-Arms? Who?
Just a shame we'll never see Man-at-Arms again if I even remember who that is.
It's been 20 minutes since we saw him. I thought he was dead.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So we go back to the forge, and Roboto remakes the sword, and then the whole forge explodes. Roboto is just hit, he is missing limbs. He is watching the program die on the inside, and he has kind of a deep moment where he says, it's so exciting. And they're like, what is exciting? You are flaming out right now. And he goes, no, I feel fear, which means I feel something, but I'm supposed to be just a robot, but I feel something. What an amazing job Man-at-Arms did of making me, because you can't go 5 minutes on this show without a reference to Man-at-Arms, to quote Gina Ippolito.
What?
Yeah, this would have been a really great moment if they had spent any time building up Roboto or his relationship to anyone at all. There's one moment in this episode where he calls Teela sister and she sort of half smiles. So I knew he was going to die in that moment.
because
I was like, well, obviously, like, this isn't, it wasn't something that was set up like before, like in a previous episode where, you know, like she was like, Man-at-Arms was explaining to him his relationship to the world. And he was saying, like, Teela is your sister. And he was like, I don't know what that means. What is a sister? And Man-at-Arms is like, someone you feel some sort of emotion for because you come from the same person. Like, if there was any of that backstory, then I would have been like, oh, cool. But like, all of a sudden in this episode, he's like, thank you, sister. And she's like, oh, that's sweet. And then the girl whose name I refuse to learn is like, no, you can't do this. We all love you so much. Guy whose name I don't know because we've only been on this trek for like 30 seconds together. And then like they're both really upset when he dies. And I was like, man, this would have been good if anyone cared about this character or if they had set anything up that said that anyone else in this world cared about this character.
This is the point where I realized that, like, oh, right, because he's saying these interesting things like, I'm no machine, I was a miracle, and like he, there's the explosion, you see him like start getting torn up, I'm like, oh, he's definitely dead, but he's absolutely going to get some sort of like a dying monologue. Oh, but at least I learned, blah, blah, blah. And he did.
Not and, disappointed.
And I was like, oh, yeah, there it is. Is that like, again, like I was saying earlier, that's the structure of a joke. Like, this is the structure of an emotional moment where I should feel something for this character. And they're saying things that like, okay, that I see that I'm supposed to feel this way because you were telling me, but I don't feel it at all.
Yeah. And that's, it's like everything bummer about this was written by an AI.
Yeah.
Or someone read one book about writing for TV and then wrote a TV series.
What if Roboto wrote this himself?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, that would explain everything, to be honest.
No, dude, and I do think I understand all, what you guys... I understand what you guys are saying, in Gina, and that it is brilliant, just like an episode of Hell's Kitchen, where you have the character that you haven't really thought much about, and then all of a sudden, everybody starts asking them what they would do with the prize money, and they would be like, oh, I'm going to use it to help, you know, orphan children or sick cats. And then they're like, oh, man, they're not asking anybody else what they would do with the prize money in that moment. Just this one guy. And wouldn't you know it, it's the episode he's kicked off the show. Brilliant narrative structure, just like Hell's Kitchen.
Mm. Hey, Gina, have you ever considered writing for reality TV? Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh, it'd be great.
Oh, you'd be so good at it.
I feel like, Ray, you don't always have to be such a parody of white trash all the time.
Is this what I have to put in my new Twitter bio? Look, I've already done local video games, man. Do I now have to refer to myself as parody of white trash?
I feel like if someone, like, if I was, like, reading a pilot and it was, like, here are all these, like, fully formed characters, and then here's this, like, loudmouth guy from Detroit. He owns a lot of jerseys that he wears proudly for the sports team that he likes, which is probably a sports team from Detroit. And he loves reality TV shows, and he can't sit through anything like narrative because it's too boring for him, but he loves reality shows, even though they're the same thing over and over again. I would be like, all right, is there anything more to this guy?
Oh, but he's also a podcaster.
Is that not what the shorthand for podcaster? When you have a podcast character on the show, it means all of those things.
Yes.
I have to tell you this very brief story, but I've been looking at condos.
This is not going to end well for us, Ray, just so you know.
No, it's not.
I'm already ready.
It's not offensive to you. It's more along the lines of like, oh, God, humanity. But I was looking at condos, and there was one that had like a nice little pantry, which I love a pantry, and I don't have one at my house, and I miss a pantry. And the guy who was showing me the apartment, who was real old school, in that he like, I don't know if he thought I was much younger than I am or whatever, but he was like saying like, oh, you'll like this. The last four people I rented to were girls. And I was like, all right, dude, we're called women, but okay. And then he was like, they had help from their parents. And so it's a very safe neighborhood, but all girls, all had help. And I was like, I wanted to be like, dude, I'm an adult. Like, I don't, are you trying to like get me to be like, oh, I like this place because I'm also a girl. I have parents. It's a safe neighborhood. But then anyway, so he's that kind of guy, you know, and so he's showing, I was like, oh, cool, pantry. And he was like, oh, you know, the girl that rented this, her boyfriend, he did podcasts, you know, podcasts. and so he made this into a room where you do a podcast. So we,
it's
like
Providence.
He soundproofed it and all this other stuff. And then he was in there recording a podcast, and he was saying it to me like as if it was this thing, and he was like, you know the podcast, and I was like, I'm familiar with podcasts. Yes.
Do you think you might have a boyfriend someday who would like the podcast?
Here's the deal. I can nearly guarantee it.
Nope, it's a deal breaker. It's a deal breaker.
Let's see. She likes young white comedy dudes. Yeah. Definitely someone's going to want to use this space.
Oh my God, it's too real. Oh, Lordy Lou. So you closed on the spot, I'm assuming.
Here's the thing. I would have. And that's how terrible I know I am as a person.
Yeah, I'm actually already thinking about reaching out to get this place for myself.
I mean, it's gorgeous. It was the place that I didn't like the location because, as Chan said, it's going to be hard to, because the 405 is right there. It's by the Galleria and all that. Right. And I was just like, damn, if this was like in Valley Village, I would take it in a second. I mean, it wasn't cheap, but it was gi-fucking-normous.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I could tell my partner, like, hey, let's go look at this place. As soon as they saw that, they would know why they were there. And we'd be like, are you fucking serious? And I would have to blush, shamefacedly turn away and go, I know.
I don't know. I mean, it is a gorgeous place. So I bet despite that, Cy would be like, oh, fuck it. Let's get it. Despite the podcasting pantry.
I mean, to be fair, though, Gina, at your current house, though, you had a studio for podcasting and you blasted it off the face of the earth. So are you sure you wouldn't just like use cement and just like board up the pantry?
Yeah. I want no one who owns anything after me to be able to podcast.
That's how much resentment towards podcasting we've grown in you. And I'd like to say we've done something.
No, I just fucking realized that I would be Cask of Amontillado'd because they'd be like, hey, you want to check out this really nice closet? It's got soundproofing and you can make all the podcasts you want. I'd be like, derp, de, 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 de. Oh, this is real nice. This has got great. Hey, what's that brick you're doing there? Oh, wow. You tell me that this also is going to like make it quieter so that I can really get into my podcast. Hey, you know what? I'm not getting any signal on this on my Wi-Fi. Could you hang like a Cat 6 cable or something?
I would let you record in there so that you could record right up until your death.
I mean, that's compelling radio right there. I'll tell you what.
The last podcast.
Yeah, like you're gonna be like, I it's going on 3 days here. Found some pickle juice in the corner of this pantry, so I feel like I can survive a little longer.
I'm so weak.
Anyway, we're talking about wrestling today. not reflecting on my life and imminent death. I'm just going to talk about a commercial that I watched one year for the next 25 minutes.
Everything is dark. I'm so hungry. I'm wasting away. I'm tired. I found a bag of Lay's potato chips on the shelf, and I'm going to eat that and hopefully sustain myself another day. Anyway, here's my thoughts on King of the Ring 1998.
It's like I'm talking to Zoltar, and he's telling me how I'm going to die. And I'm like, yep, nailed it.
Oh, my God. Hey, we still got to finish this episode.
Do we, though?
I mean, here's the deal. Adam decides
to go. We're almost there. Roboto dies. People, for some reason, are sad.
They go through the gate, and immediately they're outside Castle Grayskull fighting off with, what's his name, Triclops? They're fighting off with all his hooded machine people.
Fighting off Henry Rollins.
They're all getting wrecked by Henry Rollins. And then Man-at-Arms appears from nowhere and saves them. And I'm not even kidding. I'd forgotten about this moment from watching it the first time. And I howled with laughter when Man-at-Arms made the save.
Someone save us. Who could it be?
Who could it be?
Some sort of man. I recognize that man.
Who is that cloaked hero?
He seems well armed.
Could be a man.
And then it's literally like Tila's like, oh my God, it's you. I know I just saw you like probably 2 hours ago, realistically, in real time. But oh my God, anytime, I feel like he's Is it the silence in Doctor Who that when you look away, you forget they exist? Like Man at Arms is like a Doctor Who villain where the second he's out of your eye shot, you forget who he is or you think he's dead. And then when you see him, you're like, holy crap, what's going on here with this guy? Oh my God. Like, literally, he's just like, oh, all right, I just saved you. Oh, my daughter. Oh, my God. It's been decades. And, like, someone looks at their stopwatch and they're like, oh, I set my stopwatch when we went into hell. It's actually only been 27 minutes. And the Man at Arms is like, no, oh, my God. It feels like an eternity. And someone's like, oh, yeah, like, now we're going on 28 minutes because you're still talking. But it's really a short period of time in the grand scheme of things.
To be fair, anytime you're not around Man at Arms, it's like an interstellar situation.
Yeah.
Where it doesn't feel very long, but it's been an eternity.
It's such a weird, like, it makes me think that it was like a room bit, like that made the writers laugh, where they were like, oh, it would be hilarious if we did this super dumb thing where every time like Man at Arms goes away, they treat it like he died the next time they see him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the only reason I could think that they keep doing this.
It's amazing. My emotion was very real. I howled with laughter because there he is, and he like winks at the camera, and they're all like, "Whoa!" And I'm just like, "You are fucking kidding me right now." That's amazing. So they win the battle. That's fine. They say this is the part, Chan. We're gonna talk about this. He-Man goes to call the power. He goes, "We gotta get the magic back." Gets a sword. He starts saying, "I have the power." Because Skeletor has stabbed Adam through the chest with a spear. He was hiding in Evil Lyn's magic artifact the whole time. Didn't tell her. And he whacks He-Man. All the other Evil Lyn, Beastman, all the other bad guys that have been hanging with the group are sort of like, oh, that's not what we thought would happen. I mean, like, I guess it's cool. I will go with you. Well, you're here. And we like, okay, guys, I guess we're going to go with him. And then Skeletor goes to do the He-Man bit, calling the power sword. And that's the end of the episode. Holy shit. What an ending. Chan, you have feelings.
Here's my note from just before the stabbing. Did that skull grow a dick?
Oh, it might have. It might have, yes.
The skull pops out and then like stuff comes out of the bottom that eventually turns into Skeletor. But like, I was like, man, that horned skull is getting a boner. That's weird. Then he stabs him and I'm into it. It's the only thing that I've liked the entire series. Skeletor's is competent. We've discussed this many times. Mm-hmm. A competent villain. Pretty great.
Yeah.
So he had this long-term plan where he was just gonna hide out for many years until someone brings him back, and then he's gonna complete the job that he started playing the long game. I respect that.
Yeah.
I just wish the rest of the show were up to that standard.
I dug this. The only thing that I didn't like was that, like, Teela watches him be killed. And, like, she doesn't even say, like, a not again or anything like that. Like, it's like, she's just like, no, what? Adam's dead? And it's like, yeah, you just watched him die, like, a week ago. I mean, not, like, a week ago. That was, like, a long time ago. But there's no mention of, like, I can't go through this again or anything like that. Or, like, oh, the irony of him coming back. Wow. And, like, he was dead, and then she found him in heaven, and then, like, he's with them, but he's still technically dead.
If they had, like, reconciled, and she was like, okay, I finally gotten over this, I understand why you did what you did, turns out I actually do, I felt so hurt because I truly love you, and let's go back and do this thing and save the world, and he's like, yes, thank you, I want to be the hero that you need me to be, and so I will give up paradise to come back and save the world and for you. And then he dies. Then Teela would have something, but she doesn't.
I mean, also, like, I will say, There is a little bit of like a, oh yeah, this was written by dudes, and no matter how often you put a chick at the front of it, it's not going to change the fact that it was written by dudes. Because like, it is a, I mean, who knows what's going to happen in the other episodes, but the fact that he like comes back and is like, who else could do it but me? Like, I'm going to wield the sword. It did make me sort of be like, wait, what the fuck? I thought the whole point was like Teela was going to wield the sword, which she still very may well.
I mean, she may have to, right?
It seems like it's leading there. But in this moment when like He-Man is like, oh, I have to do it. It's me. Like I would legitimately, if I were Teela, I'd be like, look, dude, I know you're dead, but like, what the fuck? Like, I just went through all of this. It wasn't for you to come back and do it. You're welcome to come back and fight at my side as I wield the sword, but fuck you. So yeah, like, you know, there was a little bit of like, oh, okay, he's just going to do it, even though he's probably a zombie and no one's questioning whether or not a zombie should have like huge strength. But then like he does it and yeah, like, you know, sassy Skeletor, which I love, and I love Mark Hamill can do no wrong in my book.
Everybody loves sassy Skeletor.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Like I love all of it. I love the fact that, you know, Evil-Lyn is forced to choose, and I love that like Beastmaster's sort of tentative, like, good to have you back. Like I love that. Like he's
that was real
clearly,
fun.
Like he's just a soldier and he's sort of like, oh crap. Like we kind of made friends with these people, but now we're going to like hang out with this guy again who's like really probably going to destroy the world. I guess
he's
it's good
real
to have
bad
him
influence.
Back. Like I love all of that. It's like I just thought, you know, like in the last few moments of this, I was disappointed in all the Teela plot is what I will say.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like when He-Man died, if Teela would have just suddenly turned to the camera, put both hands to her face like Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone and said, oh no, not again. I feel like the moment would have lost something for me.
Yeah. I'm not saying she should have said, oh no, not again. I'm saying some sort of acknowledgement that like I can't watch you die again, or like no, it's not fair, I just got you back kind of thing. But she's acting like this is the first time she's seen him die.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, all right, you've seen him die. He was just in heaven where, and like, you know, he's like the walking dead now.
Yeah.
You
went
like,
to heaven to go get him. You were aware of his situation.
Yeah, like it just, I mean, again, I love the Skeletor He-Man. And to be honest, like Skeletor stabbing He-Man made me just wish this whole thing was just Skeletor and He-Man fighting like the original He-Man.
Yeah, I mean, guess what? We might be following Skeletor for a while in the rest of this season, and I would be okay with that, honestly.
Yeah, I would much rather see Mark Hamill and 500 Lady, you know, chilling with Beast Man.
500 Lady?
500 Lady.
Are you referring to
Lena
Headey?
Okay.
Of Game of Thrones and the movie 300?
Yeah.
What did I say?
Let's roll back the tape. 500 Lady.
Oh yeah, I was talking about I would walk 500 miles.
Are you saying that the Proclaimer song is about Lena Headey?
I am full of a third dose of Moderna. You're lucky that I've lasted this long.
A lot of people don't realize that Lena was the third singer of the Proclaimers. Get the credit for that.
You're lucky that I've mustered this much energy to direct my hatred towards Ray for this episode.
Oh no, I do appreciate that.
I'm gonna immediately pass out after this.
That happens a lot with people who are mad at me. They get it all out and then fall asleep.
It's because they're finally at peace.
That's right. We did what we needed. I've said the things I dare to say. Good night.
We got what we needed. We found out that the song was originally I Would Walk 300 Miles. It was supposed to be a tie-in to the movie, the Zack Snyder movie.
That's
and
right.
And when that deal fell through, they were just like, you know what? Let's just make it 500 so it's not weird. And Lena Headey was like, I get songwriting credits, right? And you're like, who are you? And she's like, I'm Man at Arms. And like, never heard of you.
When I wake up, I just know I'm going to be the Evil-Lyn right next to you. These are the alternate lyrics, I'm sure.
Okay, now we're all loopy. Time to go.
Yeah, I think that's the end of the episode. Well, that is the end of the episode. We'll see you back soon enough for episode 6, but they're going to make me wait 2 months. I can nearly guarantee it. So we'll see you in January for episode 6 through 10 of Masters of the Universe Revelation, along with season 6 of G.I. Joe. We've got an agreement here. I get 2 episodes of G.I. Joe to finish season 5 before the end of the year, and Gina gets, like, 9 seasonal favorites.
And what does Chan get? He forces us to eat disgusting foods.
We forgot to do that for this. We have to do that for next week.
What? No, we're gonna do it the next time we do a live show with the patrons.
Oh, because Chan has now delivered this turkey dinner candy corn feast.
I will say it's very Thanksgiving-y. So what we need to do is pick a Thanksgiving holiday episode. And then eat them throughout.
We might try to do a live episode before then, but definitely week of Thanksgiving. Let's do it. We'll do what we did last time. We'll watch a show with the fans, eat some terrible, terrible things.
Hey, it might be delicious. Everyone, the full name is turkey dinner and apple pie and coffee candy corn.
Yeah, it could be delicious, Gina. This is on the table of possibilities.
I like it. It reminds me of what Veruca Salt eats in what it reminds me of the gum that Violet eats in Willy Wonka, because it says like green beans, roasted turkey, cranberry sauce, stuffing. And it reminds me of like when she's eating it and it's a whole meal of gum and she's like, oh my God, now I can feel the soup running down my throat. Whoa, now we're getting dessert, blueberry pie.
Yeah,
it didn't end well for her, right?
Yeah. Thank you.
They say that she was squeezed later, which I think was a fun story to tell.
I'll be honest, I have a strange feeling Violet Beauregard is going to have it better than we do eating these. I'll put it out there. Anyway, that's our show, everybody. Knowing is half the podcast. That is Masters of the Universe Revelation. Nobody thought we'd get through it, and we did. And now they're going to drop more episodes to make us liars. But that's okay. We'll get to it in season 6 at some point when I'm allowed to pick the shows that we watch in between the G.I. shows.
If I ever get hired on this show, we have to delete all of these.
No, you can say it when you get hired on, and then you can put it by your good friend Kevin Smith, and you can just say, see, I've identified the problems.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll all really...
That's how
I'm
it goes.
Sure the season 1 writers will really enjoy that.
No, First we off, know that in season 2...
men are writing it, so that's the big problem.
There you go. Mm-hmm. I say season 2 of every show, my understanding is they take one internet troll who hated it and put them in the writer's room. That's my understanding of how TV writing works, but I'll need you to explain it more.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I would just explain it, and then you would probably say, no, that's not how TV writing works.
I mean, where's the lie? Okay, that's been this episode. There are ways you can get a hold of us. If you want to join one of these group watches, I'll tell you, I felt like that one with the Pac-Man was very successful. Everybody had a really good time, and we just hung out for like an hour, watched a show, and just got stupid. And everybody was having fun. So you're welcome to do that. Patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. Literally any tier at all. And we'll give you the keys to the car and let you drive off a cliff with us. It's a lot of fun.
You can just go to Facebook. Money.
What's that?
We're not good with money.
No, we're terrible with it. Like, I don't even know. Like I suggested, hey, you know, we never take the money out. We should probably do that at some point. And I was shouted down by why? And I didn't have a good answer. Unfortunately, so the money's still sitting in there. We don't know. I think we should maybe for the holidays, right? Maybe we buy gifts for all our patrons. Maybe we get more stickers and magnets with this wretched season 5 logo so we can get rid of it.
I'm still owed $3 for Pac-Man.
Nope.
So we need more Patreon subscribers to give me
$3. Anybody who subscribes for $3 will know that money went to buying Gina that Pac-Man episode.
I will.
Any new subscriber. It could be any of you.
I'm going to die on this hill. She's not getting that money.
I want my $3.
It's gone. Forget it. It's YouTube town. But no, we do.
That was a real weird Roman Polanski poll, but you know what? I'll take it.
We do need a new logo for season 6, and God willing, I'm not going to let Chan get this one.
Oh, you do the legwork. Jesus, man.
Otherwise, I end up wearing a football helmet, and I got a robot arm for no good reason. Oh, Ray, you said, you know, you like video games. So suddenly I've got a belt buckle that's a giant Xbox controller. Chan, what is this graphic? Tell one story, not 17.
That's not how I roll, baby.
This is not one of those Valentine's Day style movies, right?
Oh, but Gary it Marshall should be. Film.
Yeah. It is, you know what? Gina's right. It really should be. Anyway, we'll do something. I don't know. We don't think these things through. Maybe over Thanksgiving break, I'm going to figure something out. How about that? Done.
You're going to figure some life stuff out?
That's unlikely.
I got to sit down and think about my life. I'll wait until Thanksgiving.
Why don't we just have these conversations off air?
Oh, that's a good call. Because as soon as we stop recording the show, we forget about all of this.
Yeah, as soon as we stop recording, I am going to pass out. We've established
she's going to be gone. Yeah, it's fair. So anyway, you can also check us out on Twitter at G.I. Joe Podcast. Individually, I am at Almighty Ray.
At 999 RPMs.
I'm at Gina Ippy.
And Gina, go pass out already. My goodness, I think I will too. Chan, you're not allowed. I'm sorry. Oh, no.
And the only thing that stands in their way is Prince Adam, who defends the secrets of Castle Grayskull as He-Man, the most powerful man in the universe. Only 4 others share this secret, Guardians of Grayskull all, amidst an army of the honorable, committed to guarding Castle Grayskull from the havoc of destruction. For those who control Grayskull control the power to be masters of the universe.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win Show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.